I'm always overwhelmed by God's love and his power whenever he places me in a position to speak to other people and to share his word. If you've known me for more than 10 years, you'd remember me probably as a wretched social introvert. I'm horrible speaking in front of people. I'm a mess. But then I see God's love and his work that he's done in me over the past decade or more. Some of the reasons why is because, you know, pride, obviously, focusing on yourself rather than God. But whenever we're in these forums, I think of, you know, people are so much more intelligent than I am. I feel like they're smarter than me. I'm usually the person in the group where everyone's talking. I'm just like amazed at the intelligence that they have or the knowledge that they have. Sometimes I was thinking about this. I was listening to one of the Restitutio off script things, and I'm listening to Dan and Rose and Sean. I'm like, these guys are like, they're so intelligent, so smart. Like, I couldn't get on a radio show and just talk about stuff nonstop. But then I was reading through 1 Corinthians with a brother of mine, and this verse came up. I guess, how do I do this? Just every time I want you to turn, just go like this. 1 Corinthians 8:2-3. I have it here. It says, while knowledge makes us feel important, it is love that strengthens the church. Anyone who claims to know all of the answers doesn't really know very much. But the person who loves God is the one whom God recognizes. And I was like, all right, I want to be a moron then, because I want God to recognize me for my love. And you guys that are intelligent, still be intelligent, but I'm not in that group. But I want to be recognized by God. I want to be known by this God who took his most precious possession. As Joe was just explaining, he took his son. He took the one man that finally lived a life of complete obedience to this God. And he said, this, my most precious, my most prized possession, I'm going to have him die for a people that are rebellious, a people that turn their back on me, a people that want nothing to do with me. That's love. That's love. And Joe just, man, he nailed it on that. He nailed it. So how do we love him back? I mean, this verse says right here that we love him. If we have a love for him, we'll get recognized by him. I remember, not to throw you on the spot here, but I feel like I do it every sermon, but Victor was talking about how Joe was going to come up here, and he was going to, because he's a sincere, passionate one. He was going to come up here, and he was going to have you guys, and your heart's just going. He might even shed a tear, have me shed a tear, or us shed a tear right here. And then he's like, Russ, you're going to go out there, and you're going to tell some jokes. So I guess I'm the jokester, and he's the real passionate one. But you know what? As I was going through this, and I was thinking about my reciprocated love to God, as I was going through this over the past couple months, I had a heavy heart. I had a hard time. I was like, do I insert a joke? Like, I can't even insert a joke in this. Like, my heart is just, it's just so heavy. Let's see, we got another verse here, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3 speaks to this. I have loved you, my people, he's speaking about Israel, with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have drawn you to myself. And I feel like this, as Joe was saying, applies to us too. He's drawn us to himself. He's loved us with an everlasting love. So I wanted to talk about how we can love God back. And I know that we have different versions or different ideas of what love is. You know, love isn't an emotion, or love, you know, love is an actual act, or love is this. And especially when we're talking about our God, who is a solid rock, we don't, you know, sometimes you know, hey, God's not emotional, or God doesn't have feelings. But as I've been reading through the Bible over the past 6 months, I've been seeing this God who does have feelings, who does have emotions. And as I was doing this, I understood more about this God who really has this heart to pursue people. Jeremiah 2:5. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your fathers find in me that they went far from me and went after worthlessness? The NLT version, which isn't considered legit by some of us here, but it says, what did your ancestors find wrong with me that led them to stray so far from me? I'm reading this and I see God, like, what's wrong with me that you can't, that you're turning after me, that you're going after other things, that you're pursuing other worthless things? What is it? What's wrong with me? I see this God with this emotion. He lays everything out on the line. He pursues his people, and they pursue after worthlessness. Our thoughts, our actions, our desires are so rooted and invested in ourselves and the things of this world, all of which is passing away at some point. So my first way that I say that we can pursue God is to be consumed with him. Consumed with him. 2 Timothy 3:2 says, Over time, people will be lovers of self. How true is this? How often are our desires and our thoughts and our actions totally consumed with what's in it for us? But we as Christians, we should be a people that says, what's in it for this God? Whether you eat or drink, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you're doing, you should be doing it for this God. Be consumed in him. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love this world, nor the things in it. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you're consumed with the things in this world, a world that is fading, you're not loving this God. You're straying far from this God who we just saw, we just heard, is a loving and pursuing you deeply. This God is loving and pursuing you deeply, and you're chasing after the things of the world that fade away. I don't know what breath we're at here. I think that the person that we want to look at most is Jesus. And I tried to just pull one thing out of his life when we see. He's our example. John 4:34 says, Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him, God, who sent me, and to finish his work. Jesus wasn't consumed with himself. He wasn't consumed with the things of the world. He was consumed with this God. He took time growing up to be around people who loved God, to learn about them. He took time to read and digest scripture. He stole away, took some time to get away into the wilderness and pray and spend some time with this God. He was consumed with this God. I think the fact that you guys are here is a good sign of your heart that you want to be consumed with this God. You know, there's many people, Sean could probably tell us, that came with some pretty lame excuses for not wanting to come this weekend. But you guys are here because you have that desire. You know, outside, hopefully, just the social aspect of seeing people, to have a heart that says, I want to be consumed with this God. And my hope is that we really check our hearts during this weekend. I know I want to have fun, I want to socialize, but don't leave this weekend without checking your heart. Think about some of the things that we're consumed in. Are we consumed in the television shows? Are we consumed with our work? Are we consumed with our family? I think of my kids, and I wake up in the morning, and they're there, and you know, I don't wake up, they wake me up. They wake me up in the morning, and you know, I take them out the other room, and like I'll spend time with them, get them breakfast going, this. And you know, I gotta take care of my kids, and I love them, but am I so consumed with them that I neglect my God? We need to check these areas. Are we consumed with entertainment? Are we consumed with being around people and just having fun and doing fun things? We consume with being around the friends that don't want anything to do with God just because they're more entertaining. We need to be consumed with this God. It needs to be adjusted. Our hearts need to be adjusted. So first one, consumed with this God. What's one way you can love this God? Let's look at the next. Genesis 6 says, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. This is early on. He looks down, he sees all the evil that's going on, and he's grieved in his heart. God is grieved in his heart at what's going on, what man is doing, which Joe just said, he created us. He created us with a love, a desire to have a relationship with us, and he looks down and he's grieved in his heart. Psalm 78:40. How often his people rebelled against him in the wilderness and grieved his heart in that desert. How many times do we think about our thoughts and our actions that they could be grieving this God, a God who loves us? I found myself at times, you know, I find myself sitting there or wherever I am, and I'll think about something that I used to do before God called me to him. And I'll think about that act, and it'll weigh heavy on me. You know, I know I'm healed from it, I know I'm delivered from it, I know I'm saved from it, but I'll think about who I was at a certain time and the actions that I was doing and how much it grieved this God who loves me. So what is another way that we can show God that we love him, another way that we can love him? We can be obedient to him, obey him. I know some of you guys, the police officer, gotta drop the law thing, obey, we gotta obey. But we need to be obedient to this God. 1 John 5:3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. 2 John 1:6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. I understood this more when I became a parent. You know, your kids, you ask them, you tell them to do something, listen, follow these guidelines, or do this, or don't do that, or do this. And when you see them taking heed to the words that you give them and they're obeying it, you say, this kid, he loves me. This kid loves me. I feel the same about God. I think that he looks at us and he sees that when we obey him, he says, these people, they love me. Yes. And I was only one relationship before my wife, and it was like 8 years before. After I got out of that relationship, I was like, I'm done, single for life. I don't want anything to do with relationships. I went 8 years, and then I finally met my beautiful wife. But during that time when I was with that in that one relationship, I did things that I knew weren't right with God. And so then when I met Joelle, you know, God called me to him during this time. I meet Joelle. We start dating or whatever it is. I talk to her. I'm like, listen, I didn't do stuff right in my last relationship. So during this time, I really want to do things in a way that's pleasing to God. So I said, listen, before I even get tempted in this other area, I'm saying, listen, when am I even going to kiss? It's not in the Bible, do not kiss, but when am I even going to kiss? Let's not even do that. And my heart in that sense was, God, I did it wrong the last time, but I want to show you that I love you so much that I'm willing to put away temptation as much as I can to show you, God, that I love you. We've been married for 8 years. We haven't even kissed yet, so it's soon enough. Yeah. Two kids. At work, we have these things called details where you go out and you stand in the road and you do absolutely nothing and they pay you like $50 an hour just to direct traffic, like one car that comes down the road. It's horrible. It's stealing the city's money, but listen, I got to do it sometimes. So so at the end of the shift with the sewer company comes up to you and says, hey, listen, you know, you just worked, you know, 6 hours, but I'm going to give you 9 hours, okay? I'm going to write on your slip, you get 9 hours. It's not his money, it's the city money. So he writes 9 hours on the sheet, hands it over to you, says, God, yeah, you guys have a good day. Sometimes you work with another police officer, and I'll get in my car, I'll start driving home. I'm like, this person wrote nine hours on my thing, and I'm like, it's weighing on me. I'm like, I only worked 6 hours. And then it clicks in my head. You know what, God? I love you too much. I'm not going to do this. And I go there and I scribble out what he puts and I put my honest, accurate thing on there. And sometimes the other person that I work with keeps the nine. Maybe I'm jeopardizing him and he goes in, he's going to put nine. Could be putting nine and Russ put six. And maybe I'm setting myself up for some kind of whatever controversy later on. But I love this God too much. I love this God too much to disobey him. Then we look at Jesus, a sinless man who always obeyed. Philippians 2:8. Jesus became obedient even to the point of death. He does everything right his whole life, and then he says, you know what? God, you want me to die? I'm going to obey you. I'm going to take my life. This is a man whom God was well pleased with. His obedience showed his love for God. Will ours? Does ours? Will ours? So consumed with him, the first one. Obedient towards him, the second one, to show this God that we love him. And then we get to the third one here. Malachi 2:17 says, you have wearied the Lord with your words. And this was Israel was complaining about God, saying that he was allowing evil to be seen as good. And even the end of the verse says, where is this God of justice? They're mumbling, grumbling about this God. Where is this God of justice? Isaiah speaks of sins wearying God. And I had to look up this thing. It's like, God doesn't get weary. He's a strong and awesome and magnificent God. But it means that, you know, they're displeasuring God. They're pushing his patience. In Malachi, it's an interesting verse about words wearying God. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. We should use it to bring life through praise to God. So our third way that we can give God, show God our love, is to praise him. Victor was telling me the other day that he read an article where it says, praise the Lord is the most repeated command in the Bible. That's crazy, huh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. We always praise to others, you know, we always praise, tell others, praise to others about things that we delight in. Oh, that thing, that car was great, or this was, you know, that food was so good, or, you know, we praise stuff about ourselves, we praise stuff about these sports heroes that we look at. We speak well of anything and anyone that sparks our pleasure and our delight. I find myself at times praising my wife, you know, speaking about her to other people. Someone says, oh, you know, that old ball and chain that you got at home. I'm like, no, my wife's great. I love my wife. You know, that's a way to show that you love this person, is by speaking praises of them, spelling, you know, telling others about how great they are. How much more should we praise our God? You know, Isaiah warns us not to just do lip service, but with sincere hearts, let us speak of this great and awesome God, this great and magnificent God. Psalm 63:3 says, because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. Deuteronomy 10:21 says, he is your praise. He is your God who has done for you these great and awesome things that your eyes have seen. Ephesians 1:6 speaks about what Joe just spoke about. We praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us in his Son. We praise this God for the great things that he's done. We praise this God for the great and awesome being that he is. And we don't just throw this flippantly out. We speak of this God with sincere hearts. Sometimes I don't even like to use the same words that I use when I'm speaking about God, when I'm speaking about, you know, so, oh, you know, God's so awesome, and then we're like eating pizza 10 minutes later, this pizza's so awesome, it's almost like a disservice. When we use our words with a sincere heart to speak of this God's magnificence, we show God our delight and our appreciation for him, which is pleasing to him. And we show others the one true value and hope we can rest in. We're going to talk about later on how we're going to love other people throughout this weekend. You want to know how you can love other people? Point them to this great and magnificent God. Point them to it. That's how you love other people. Matthew 11:25, we see Jesus praising the Father of heaven and earth. Mark 14:26 depicts a picture of Jesus singing a hymn, most likely about this great and awesome God. You guys are going to have some time later on when we're doing the praise and the worship service. Really think about it. Don't just, you know, the song, you know, the music's playing, you get in the feeling, you get in the emotions. Take the time to think about this God. Think about this great and magnificent God and who he is as you're speaking these words out. And guess what? He's going to be hearing them. His heart's going to be like, man, these people love me. They love me. So there's three things that we talked about. Consume, be consumed with this awesome God. Be obedient, obey this awesome God. Stop living in the ways that you're living, you know, otherwise. Jacob had a great teaching this past Sunday where he talked about repent, turn. You're going this way, you're doing the things that aren't pleasing to God. Turn the other way and run towards this God. Be consumed with him, be obedient towards him. And praise this God. Pray, he's so worthy of our praise. He's so deserving of our praise. Praise this God. Consume, obey, praise. I'm all about acronyms, so COP, COP, right? So you got the police officer, COP, right? I couldn't find one. I couldn't do pig, so I was trying to, like, COP, we'll go COP. This weekend's going to be fun and informative and pleasurable, but let's ensure it's not just a good social gathering. Hey, these group of people came together. They had a great social gathering. Let's not leave without searching our hearts with humility and really ask ourselves, am I trying to play this God, or am I sincerely loving this God? Am I playing the Christian, or am I sincerely being a follower of Christ? Consumed with this God, obedient to this God, praising this God. This magnificent being who has spent ages pursuing us and desire to love us, who displayed his love by paying the highest price for us. Corinthians talks about he paid the highest price that you could do for me, for you. He paid the highest price so that we can be reconciled, brought back to him, have a relationship back with him. Let's respond with love back to a God who is infinitely deserving of our hearts. God, I pray for this time, this weekend. God, help us. Help our hearts. Give us hearts that want to be consumed with you, God. Strip us of our desire to want to be consumed with ourselves and consumed with the world. And help us to be consumed with you. God, help us to be obedient. God, help us to turn from the ways that are evil, the ways that are displeasing to you, God. Help us to be serious about that, God, that we can show our love to you by being obedient to you. And God, help us with our praise, Father. Help our hearts to be sincerely and genuinely praising you, a magnificent, great being who has stood the test of time, who has never done anything wrong ever, who is great and full of wisdom and mercy, Help us to praise you with our hearts, God, and to praise you with our lips, God, and receive it as our love towards you, Father. We love you. We thank you for this time that you're going to give us. Thank you for the joy that you're going to bring us and during this weekend, Father. We thank you for your great mercy. Praise you through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.